percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Wow, this summer is just flying by. I've had some phenomenal guests. If you haven't had a chance to hear them, check them out. They're in the archives, Audio Boom, Wendy's Coffee House. You can do a Google search. It'll pick it up. That's what I like about Google. Low maintenance. So the other thing, too, is that there are some fantastic guests coming up. You want to find out who they are, go to the blog, Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot, or just do wendyscoffeehouse.com. That'll pick it up. What you'll see there over on the right-hand column, and this is always different if you're checking out the cell phone, the right-hand on the web if you're on a computer, the old school, Gary Wimmer, latest guest, Ticker Drow, August 5th, and Keith Linder, July 29th. Keith Linder, that episode has had a phenomenal, phenomenal response. That's the one about the poltergeist. And for 4 years, he was in a house that was incredibly, incredibly active. And nobody believed him at first. It was just that, you know, he and his girlfriend were kind of out there in the middle wandering on the fringe of reality, wondering what the heck was going on. And some of the stuff that he talks about is incredibly unique and off the wall, literally. The Bible's burning, things falling, lights coming on and off, all sorts of paranormal activity. The typical poltergeist just in your face and make you go crazy kind of stuff. So anyway, he wrote the book, and it's a page-turner. It is a very in-depth. It talks about all the details, and he includes everything. He and the girlfriend are no longer together. So obviously, poltergeists aren't real friendly with relationships. And having been through that, having different entities in the house, I can talk about that in the next break. But there's a certain sense of isolation, of not being able to share this with other people unless they have some kind of a prior experience. People who have not experienced it sometimes are too frightened to talk about it. Other times, it's that thing of, no, it can't happen. It's impossible. Well, when it happens, you get over the impossible factor. You just say, okay, so what next? But that's what that show with Keith is absolutely blowing up a lot of viral activity on that. So I don't know who's sharing it, but thank you. Thank you. Again, that's July 29th, Surviving Life with a Poltergeist, the Bothell Hell House, and that's in Seattle. He left hell off the title, and I agree that, you know, kind of this stuff tends to draw its own energy. And Ticker Drow, dowsing, he talks about spirit rescue. And so with that, there's a different approach to dowsing. Most people just figure, you know, it's like the old school term, water witching. But dowsing is a form of activating and connecting with your own internal awareness, your own intuitive guide. But it's also, what it does is it magnetizes your abilities to connect to different types, whether it's stones, minerals, essences, energies. It kind of cuts the middleman out of it. Your monkey mind goes to sleep while your own insight is allowed to come forward. And you don't dissect it. You don't try to make it logical. You just go with how it feels. Uri Geller is one of the guys who has made a nice income from dowsing. He douses for oil wells. Not that I've talked to him about this. I've just read about it. And so he's one of the guys that for a long time people were saying, oh, he's just so full of himself. He's so arrogant. He just thinks he's done all this stuff and is just, you know, all hot air. And then when the CIA papers came out and said he and Ingo Swann and some of these other guys, Pat Price, were involved in some of the star research, Star Wars, Stargate, star stuff, fantastic PSI information of all sorts, including remote viewing and just stuff that people still consider a little bit over the edge or on the fringe. It's no longer that way. Fortunately, we can talk about it a lot more intelligently and confidently, having seen the results finally coming to light, showing how much of this information has been out there and has been in use just because of the mindset of people who are frightened by it or intimidated by it or uninformed, basically, this is something that's imagined. And if you are a good imaginer, you can scare yourself silly. All right, so that should tell you that the imagination is incredibly powerful. Well, when it comes to doing things that are based on intuition or based on PSI, psi abilities, the imagination is also part of the equation, but you have to put some of that on the back burner. And when I've talked to some of these people about how they do this and what might be helpful, and I talked with Stanley Krippner about Rolling Thunder. Rolling Thunder is a tremendous shaman, medicine man. He was featured in the movie Billy Jack. What he did when he fought with a rattlesnake was he's the hand you see when the rattlesnake is biting it. And Billy Jack, just Google it, okay? That's my answer for almost everything, at least right now. But when he is in that scene with the rattlesnake and the rattlesnake bites him, what he has done to prepare himself is to basically help his metabolism along by getting acclimated to rattlesnake venom. So he can take the hit. He can tolerate the venom. The interesting thing about that, I have seen maybe one or two rattlesnakes in my life. And one was like a baby, and I got close enough to be annoying just to hear it. And I won't do that again because it was like I said, when I was younger and less conscious of my actions. I really had no intention as we went out the day that we did in preparation and really close coordination or whatever with that interview about Rolling Thunder. We saw this incredible, incredible rattlesnake on the trail. Beautiful, probably 5 foot long, and must have just shed its skin. The colors were fantastic. In front of us, there was a guy with three young children. I think one was on a bike. Probably ranging from four to eight, and he's saying there's a rattlesnake up there, and I'm thinking, at that point, and I had a dog, picked up the little dog, the big dog, we stayed back, but at that point, he had just crossed the trail, and he turned around, and I had eye contact with this extraordinary, beautiful rattlesnake, and I thought, that was the message of being right place, right time. If you're listening, you're right place, right time. So put your imagination that suspend doubt and disbelief and come along for the ride. I was going to talk with Philip Smith about his dad and the book Walking Through Walls. It's available. And it's a fantastic story about how a guy grows up with a dad who all of a sudden goes full-blown, head-on psychic mode, where he's a healer. And so he's talking to dead people. He's talking to celebrities. He's talking with Arthur Ford. And Arthur Ford, medium, very famous at one point. I knew these names a long time ago when these people were still active and alive and the legends still persisted. Now I just read about them. But this is one of the ones who was very influential in his dad's life. And Arthur Ford was coming through helping to coach his dad with some of the things that he did. And what was so exciting about this, maybe not from Philip's perspective, was that Arthur could tell on him. And at one point, he was doing some things behind his father's back, and he knew, you know, it was a no-win game trying to outsmart and sneak and lie to Dad because all those little spirit entities would tell on him. So at one point, he had made an appointment with a psychiatrist thinking, okay, he's got to get away from Dad. This spirit stuff, all this ghost stuff, all this poltergeist, all this activity, all this stuff at home was not normal. He couldn't go to school and talk with the rest of the kids because he couldn't talk to them about the ghosts and all this stuff happening in his house. So he just wanted to talk about clothes and whatever was normal for a 12, 13, 15-year-old kid, and that was not happening. So he went to a psychiatrist. A friend of a friend, a dad, father, something like that. And the deal was the psychiatrist recommended somebody else and gave him the information. So when he went home, his dad did a little check-in and went over to talk with Arthur Ford and came back and said, yeah, well, Philip is not happy with things as they are right now. He's really intimidated and doesn't like being around all of us spirit folks, and we appreciate that. But he has made an appointment with a psychiatrist, and he's going to go, and here's the address, and here's the phone number. And it was so annoying to Philip because this, they had all the information. He could not do anything in a clandestine way without the spirits informing on him. So they said, well, we'll take a back seat. We'll lay off for a little while. However, Dad had his methods. We're going to come back. I'll talk about the poltergeist experiences I've had that let me know this stuff is so much more real than reality. Next on Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. Glad to have you along. I'm taking a different direction because I wanted to talk with Philip Smith about his book, Walking Through Walls, and his dad, who was an incredible, very gifted psychic and a healer. He was getting information from all sorts of non-corporeal sources. Now, I wouldn't have the language for this if I hadn't had my own experiences in 1997 when things shifted for me and went off the beaten path into the whole different world of non-reality, the real stuff that happens between the lines. And instead of seeing it here in a manifest form, it's a non-corporeal form. And so at that point, I had an energy, essence, presence. They call it a spiritually transformative event, okay? And that was not unlike a near-death experience. In ways, it gave me an opening and a window and a complete reality shift of what was happening and how it might be happening and how the dream plane intersected with the waking plane and how in so many ways, we are much more conscious when we're asleep. We really know a lot when we're asleep. We just discount it. And some of us just completely block it because it's too complicated and complex with all the metaphors and sometimes the backwards information. A lot of times it comes through in a way that involves solving a puzzle so that if you're willing to do the homework, you can get the information. But if it's too complex and it's too time-consuming and it's too frightening, it's just there. And it's subtext. It never comes through and it doesn't scare you. So what happens with that is that you learn that you can do a lot of things on the dream plane. And when that comes through and you see it happen in the day plane, you know it's got a real good probability of manifesting. And so you work with that. And it's kind of a more of a shamanic approach to doing things like that. Okay, well, when that world opens up, there's some stuff that comes along with it because the door is open. And one of the things that was open was this poltergeist realm. And before I knew that I could do any of this stuff or that I had more psychic ability, there was a ghost that got my attention, definitely, living in a house that we had renovated. I've already had experiences going into houses that needed to be finished and that one that my partner wanted to know if the house was for sale. And there were a lot of people gathered there. We'd been watching the house, maybe 2 or 3 weeks and waiting for the sign to go up, knew it was vacant. I go into the house because I needed to find out if they were going to put it on the market. I interrupted the family who was talking over the possessions and how they were going to sort and distribute things. And I got a 3-hour massive headache because I interrupted. And I heard from the person, it was a woman, that I was interrupting a family gathering and get the heck out. So I had a 3-hour headache from that. And I thought, okay, this is a world I'm really not familiar with. And next time I will ask permission. So I had to learn. I had to do a lot of this stuff, you know, just boots on the ground, going in completely, totally oblivious before I knew that there were rules and there were things that I might have to be aware of before I went, you know, jumping off into the deep end where I wasn't quite ready to swim. So with that, the other thing that happened in terms of moving in with other people, when you have other people, I'll call it reality bubbles, your reality is paramount until you meet somebody who has an equally strong or overpowering reality. So everything the way it might work for you on a regular day, when you work with this other person or enter into a commitment, agreement, arrangement, contract with another person, that's going to shift the way you experience reality. And that is not imagination. That's a reality influence. And it happens when somebody believes that only bad things happen to them. I always attract this. That's a very solid manifestation of how reality will work. One of the friends I work with along the way had a very, very strong desire to keep her son from enlisting. And so when he signed the paperwork to enlist, she saw it. They brought it to house because she had to sign off on it. And so when she signed it, she was saying, "My it's invisible. my signature is invisible. It's invisible. So when they took it to be read, the son called and said, Mom, what did you do? They can't read your signature. What did you do? Okay, that's just one example. So she signed it, and she figured, well, she didn't need to keep interfering. Things went forward. But those kinds of things happen. And that's been my reality for at least 20 years. And with this other thing, what came along with a new contract was the house was full of an energy. And I had learned at that point how to clear the energy. And so we did the clearing to remove the entity from the house. And the funny thing about this is that there are other people who were experiencing these things the same time that I was. And I found out about one was Jonas Elrod, who talks about seeing people with manifesting with the image of horns and tails and scaring him to death, and then having a reading and having an alien imprint. And also Oprah's had him on Super Soul Sunday. Anyway, he's got a fascinating story, too. But with this happening, when my reality was shifting, it was nice to know that there were other people also going along for this incredible, incredible diversion, this ride. Through the house, we cleared the entity. And then by the time we got to the front door, the entity was so powerful that I could barely get the door open to make it leave. So I'm fighting with an invisible thing, trying to get this door open to clear it from the house. That's reality. And that's a mind shift. It's also a way of giving you a better appreciation for things you cannot see that in some way, shape, or form do exist. This is why I do the events in Weston, Missouri with the ghosts, and why I visit certain places that I know are in some way, shape, or form areas that draw different types of energy. Because once I experienced this, I knew that when people told their stories and they had encounters, that they were real. And it didn't matter how many people said they didn't exist and how many people didn't believe in them. The person who is experiencing it has a completely different mindset that allows them to engage with this energy. And it's real, and they're seeing it, and they are engaged. And in some way, shape, or form, if they are uncomfortable, they need help. And they need somebody else to say, aha, I get it. Let's hear what's going on. And in so many ways, we miss those opportunities when we discount and devalue people who say, I've seen a UFO. I've seen a Sasquatch. I've been haunted by this entity. I've seen a ghost. They're telling you a reality. Now, it doesn't mean you have to buy hook, line, and sinker every part of the story. And it doesn't mean that any of it can be recreated under scientific conditions. As a matter of fact, you can talk with Robert Bigelow about how easy it is to create supernatural experiences and events and to get it recorded and in some way, shape, or form validated by science. He did that for 8 years, or was part of that research for 8 years at Skinwalker Ranch. Hunt for the Skinwalker is the book with Colm Keller and George Knapp, talking about all the experiences that they had, multiple witnesses over that long-term period, before and after. That was just the time that they were on it. And they could not come away with scientific corroborative evidence that says that this is all real. Some of it involved being able to see into different dimensions, being able to see and witness a Sasquatch, a UFO, having paranormal events happen, where the woman of the house, when she lived there, this is before the research started, she would put her brush and towel in the bathroom and she's taking a shower. She would get out. It would be gone. And it would either be in a different part of the house or completely invisible. These things happen. And that's why I do what I do. I search, I explore, I talk to experiencers so that they'll share their story. And another part of these psychic PSI intuitive encounters involves dealing with people who share their stories. One involved at Weston, somebody who had a partner, just died, and that's usually when they're most prominent, and I get the best information, when there has been a recent departure, a transition, as Becky Hawkins calls it. She's a hospice nurse, and her story is also fantastic. That's one of the interviews I have on Empower Radio. But when I talk to these people, that presence is usually there, and they'll give me some key words to let me know that this is the person I'm talking to, words I don't usually have in my vocabulary. Not that anybody else knows that. But this happened to be at Weston, and she had just lost her partner. It's a tremendous story and an affirmation that reality is more than what we think, and it doesn't end when we die. Coming up next, KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Gonna beat some sweet sounds coming down. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Yeah, I'm shifting gears. I figured, you know what? Just going to talk about the stuff that I experience from my personal point of view, so you have an idea of where I stand on some of these issues, or, you know, at least ballpark. But when I was mentioning Robert Bigelow, talking about his the investigation, the research they were doing at the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, and not being able to get that corroborated by some scientific form, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just means we don't have the tools to really make it legitimate for people who have that scientific nature and want everything in black and white and little numbers and all that. Yet. But that tells us we need to upgrade our science. It's not about whether it doesn't exist. It's how we upgrade our capabilities of researching and quantifying these kinds of things. But the other thing he's been working on, and this is with Bigelow Airspace, the cool thing was they had a recent, or the National Remote Viewing Association actually had the opportunity to tour his facility, which is rare. And so a lot of the people who were attending that were able to tour the facility. He's doing some tremendous work. And one of his things is trying to build habitats for space. And so they've got a module right now that they're able to launch on a rocket and inflate when it's in space. And it gives, you know, like the astronauts who are up there, gives them a little more wiggle room. I'll call it that because that's about what it is. It's not like a walk in the park. It's like, you know, maybe doing a cartwheel and a couple of backflips. Anyway, it's the Bigelow Expandable Activity Module, or BEAM. And it's been attached to the International Space Station since 2016. They've got an upgrade on that. And that science, that research that he's doing is phenomenal because he believes that we are and have been visited and we are experiencing the ET phenomenon and whatever you call it. It doesn't mean that they're coming from a planet far, far away. It could mean many things. One, that they're interdimensional, transdimensional, that this is a mind thing, that we can see and connect with them even though that physical body is not present, or there is also a physical element, a component, and we still don't know how all of that works. But his next space station design, the B330, is 330 cubic meters, about 12,000 cubic feet of volume when expanded. So they say it's about one-third the volume provided by the International Space Station, and he wants to launch that about 2021. But one of the quotes basically says, we're the most backward country on UFOs. And so we really need to get with a program if we want to do that, because we're going to be in space. We're going to be there, and they're there. That's what we've got all these pictures of. And that's what we've had all these encounters worldwide of. Okay, so going back to, as I just wanted to catch you up with that Bigelow, because I have tremendous respect for him, and the fact is that he had grandparents who witnessed a UFO. So for him, this was never a fiction. It was never a reality to be denied. It was like, whoa, game on. Thanks. So, you know, so fortunately, he's got the money to investigate and explore these kinds of things, and space is one of the things that he's looking toward to get us onto the next level. So with the experiences at Weston, a person came up to me and had recently lost a partner. And at that point, the partner was present. And so I had the language. And that's the thing. When I do a read, it's just the language is going to be there at that moment. It doesn't stick with me. Some days it might, if I talk with somebody, I'll have an encounter, dream plane, two or three days before or that morning. And I'll know, okay, this is for somebody else. So this was one of those things where the funny thing about this is he was an atheist. I wrote about this. I put it on the Talking to Night Lights blog. I think I might have put it on Wendy's Coffee House, but definitely Talking to Night Lights. That's what, when I wrote the book, that's what I called it, because it was this nightlight, and it continues. It's been doing it for 20 years. It flickers and blinks, and it goes off because it's not a nightlight. It goes off to show me that, yeah, energy's energy. And if it has as much power to blink a nightlight, it can also make it not come on. So I know electronics are affected and impacted when we connect with this other realm, these other dimensions, plural. So the information I get is telling me specific things that relate to this person. And specific things like instructions, go ahead and get a pedicure, a manicure. Go ahead and have a ladies' day out, something like that. And I don't know what the heck that is. Well, apparently she had been talking with the daughter about doing that exact thing and also told her to get a dog. She said, well, the entire time they were together, he didn't want a dog. Well, the information then came from the no longer corporeal person, the deceased. He said he didn't like death. He had a tough time with death. So here it is. You know, you're talking to somebody who's deceased, or at least I'm hearing from someone who's deceased. And he's saying, yeah, I didn't handle death well. So here he is on the other side. And by the way, he's an atheist. And so we ask the question, because he tells me he's an atheist. I said, so how's that going for you? He says, I'm still on the fence. So even though he has gone into this different realm, he still has that paradigm, that belief, that conflict with not quite sure what the reality is. Haven't talked with the big guy yet or the big gal, but I still need proof. So here we are in this manifest, this element that we've put on, this bubble that goes with us even when we transition. So when I hear from these people, the other one, this is the back to the poltergeist element, moved into a house that was a duplex and got a fabulous deal on this duplex. They said, well, they were just, you know, it was too far to come do the maintenance work on it, and they were just tired of it, and so they were just going to pass it on, and somebody who really was into that kind of work would appreciate it, and they were doing us a favor. It was haunted. Okay. And again, this is before I really understood that the stuff that was happening to me was real and that I was going to be doing it more than once. It wasn't just a happy accident or a freak thing. So I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm choking. I'm laying flat in the bed, coughing, trying to figure out how to get my breath because I'm choking. I thought that I must have forgotten how to breathe, that I was going to sleep and forgetting how to breathe. I was trying to make this thing logical. So I propped myself up with pillows, and that way it would keep me from choking while I slept. And then I heard sounds. I would hear like a little chime. At one point, I had my foot on top of the sheet, and I felt something touch my toe and just bend the big toe down. I'm like, whoa! Okay, I put the sheet over my toes. Didn't need to have that happen. And the chimes, I thought, well, that must be the neighbor's chime, you know, from five houses away. Okay, so this entire time, and there's probably, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of me trying to figure out how to make this thing work and how to quit choking in the middle of the night. I wake up, and the noise I'm making as I wake up is like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay, so I wasn't choking. I was making this noise. And as I'm waking up and hearing this noise, not yet realizing it's me, whoa, there's a ghost here. Oh, that's when I wake up and realize that's me. As my mind is racing so fast, trying to figure out what's happening, I'm half awake, half asleep, and understanding that it's me making this noise. And yes, this is the ghost trying to talk through me. Oh, that changes everything. So then we start doing a little research, talking to the neighbors, finding out about this house. While we were on vacation at one point, the house scared my cat into a corner. The cat lost a whole lot of white fur in the corner, refusing to leave this space while we were gone. I felt really, really bad about that because animals are so much more sensitive. So here my cat was traumatized while we're on vacation and coming back home and realizing putting all of these things together and getting a piece of the equation to what was going on. I'll tell you what was going on with that house coming up next on Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. Yeah. I was completely clueless. I had no idea. Another point along the way of this, I left and found out that, it was gone for maybe, five or so minutes out of the living room, 10 minutes. I can't remember if I took a walk or what, but I was gone. And during the time I was gone, I came back and, you know, the little entertainment sets that they have for televisions, VCRs, that kind of thing, they have magnetic doors on the front. I came home. The two magnetic doors were open. They were equally open, maybe 10 inches cracked. And I thought, whoa, okay, that was intentional. They don't just do that by themselves. and both of them, not just one. Kat couldn't do it. I called at that point to say, did you come home and do something? You know, it would have only been like a 10-minute window. No, wondering why I was making a phone call and asking such a dumb question. Okay, fine, just wondering. Because at that point, I wasn't sure who to tell about all this. and that was an indication, again, another indication that this presence was there. So as we talked with the neighbors, we found out that the prior tenant and the reason that this house sold for such a great price, the duplex, was that the person committed suicide. And what he was trying to do was to get my attention so that I would wake up and quit ignoring him and get him the heck out of the spot he was stuck in. And it took me a while to understand that that was my job, that I was supposed to make that connection. Because I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. This isn't. But the fact that he could connect with me was not meant to scare me. It was meant to get me up to speed, to get off my duff, and to start going, well, now that we've explored and opened this door, what am I supposed to be doing? And not only that, a whole lot of people in that room. It wasn't empty. So once I figured that out and was able to do that, then there were more people coming through. One was a former lawyer who came through. And I had had, at that point, was doing another talk show radio station in town, not open about any of this at all. We had a guest on, Rosemary Altea. She was talking about something. She said she was getting this impression from this woman, and the name came through. And sure enough, this is the deceased lawyer. And so when I went home, then I got a bunch of information from her. And I told a girlfriend who also was friends with the lawyer. And she said, well, let me tell her family. I said, well, okay, I don't know what I can do, but... And so she told the family. Now, the family, the fun thing about this is you realize that not everybody's open to this, and I don't tell everybody when this stuff happens. But the information got to them. So then I got a phone call from the family from an anonymous number. And then I was told after I gave them the information and said that this is what it is right now. I won't remember it. Just take it for what it's worth. And at the same time, it was helpful to them. It gave it a little bit of a closure. And they also said if I needed to connect with them again, talk to the girlfriend and she would make a phone call. Okay. The first thing is, a lot of times when you get this information, it may or may not be to pass along. That is up to each and every person who has these abilities, whether it's appropriate and whether it is asked for. Sometimes it's just better to say, I heard you, and continue. Go where you need to go. And just give the soul, the spirit, the essence, permission to go ahead and leave. And if it's okay to share that information, that's fine. But if it frightens the heck out of the people who are still here, it is not helpful. It's completely, it's uncalled for. So learning that there needed to be some discretion, I also learned that people have different energies. And working with cash registers has given me that. I have watched people shut down cash registers because their energy is so counter to what's happening in that situation. And I've watched the cash register doing just fine. And then a person will approach and it will just go, bink, lock up. It's not the cash register. It's the person. It's their energy. And it took me a while to figure that out too. But it was so wonderful to have those experiences and see the connection with our electric ability, the electric body, all of those things that they talk about are real. And that's what is seen from that non-corporeal spirit side. They see your colors. I worked with clearing a house I never had to show up to in a part of Missouri that was extremely having some very difficult problems. And I was told at the time, this is where the dream plane came in. Don't do it. They showed me in the dream. I was standing on a card table making a presentation. And the card table was wobbly. It was slanted way off kilter, letting me know that the presentation they intended to make was not going to be up forward or straight. It was manipulated. And so when I knew that, I still had the connection with that house. And they showed up at my house. Again, this is telepathic, so it's a psychic thing. Checking me out, telling me what colors I had. We had a conversation. They turn on the lights. And this is an outdoor light. They turn on the lights. And then they say, have we talked enough? Yes, I think I got the picture. The light goes out. So these kinds of things are ways to track and receive information in a way that's unconventional and yet very effective. And so I look at those things in my environment and I listen when I talk to people. What are they saying that isn't out loud? What are they saying that really matters? Because all of this that we are doing is manufactured. It's not imagination. Part of it is, but it's creation. It's projection. It's influencing outcomes. And it's absolutely, right now, important, imperative that we get a hold of some of these abilities that are just part of the package, that when you incarnate, some of this stuff is already here and you're already tuned in if you don't block it, if you don't listen to all of the impossible, unbelievable, can't happen. It does happen. And anyone who's lived in a haunted house has experienced that. Anybody who's had a near-death experience, an out-of-body experience, says, wow, there's so much going on here that we can't even put into words. That's why I wanted to talk with Philip Smith and why I will connect with him. Because one of the guys, when he was coming home, and he said this tall guy who looked like Lurch was in the house with his dad because they were having some kind of a session. And he said, well, yeah, your dad's doing an encounter. It's an emergency session for somebody else. And Philip's like, okay. Because it took him two or three times to get him to answer the door. He knew he was there. And this Lurch guy is there. He's saying, well, why didn't you just walk through the wall? Your dad does. Dad had some extraordinary abilities. The thing is, he's not the only one. And when you talk about other people who have these kinds of abilities, there are more names now connected to the dots and more capabilities of finding out how to improve your own PSI, your remote viewing, your extrasensory perception. That's the stuff I talk about. Get on the website, wendyscoffeehouse.com, the blog spot, and you'll look at the list of guests. Gary Wimmer was one of the ones who's most recent, and he's the one who had the near-death experience where he was talking, he was having all these incredible psychic overwhelm. He knew things. He would see the newspaper headline that somebody else was bringing in as they walked through the door and be able to say, this is what's going on. But it was over-amped. Driving him nuts. He said, please give me a break. And he said the caretakers or whoever you called them said, okay, you want a break? Are you ready for this? Don't get weird. No, that's from the alien show, People of Earth. Don't get frightened. Don't wig out. But anyway, it's okay. We got this. And he got hit by a car. Smash! Okay. And he's saying, you know, the cool thing was, as he's having this incredible, whoa, look at the dimensions, look at the other planets, look at the ETs, look at the immortals. It's all here. I'm going to go. No, you're not. You're going back. He goes back, and everybody there is looking at him because he doesn't have like a little teeny tiny scratch on his head. They sent him to a psych ward thinking he was totally nuts. That was back in the 70s, okay? This stuff is real. That's what happened when Philip Smith's dad was going through this, all right? Well, guess what? We've advanced some since then. So stick around. You're going to have an extraordinary life and extraordinary encounters, and they're all going to be real, okay? Know, trust who you are, what you're doing. This moment in time is an amazing opportunity to expand your horizons and open your consciousness to the reality that is beyond your vision, your eyesight, but not beyond your intuition and your knowing. And maybe next time I'll talk about the UFO, the one that appeared in my bedroom, that the dog barked at, well, growled, let me know it was there in the corner. I thought it was the cat. And the dog's, I thought, okay, what is it? And I opened my eyes, and there's this little dinner plate-sized UFO hovering above the bed in the corner. Yeah, mind-opening? You betcha. I don't have time for that right now. Check out the website, wendyscoffeehouse.com. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.